This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
You remember this summer, Mike, when we didn't have a ton to talk about, so we were reviewing movies because there wasn't as much to talk about, but things to talk about were all stuff off the field and off the court and such? Remember those days?
I feel like everything is off the field and off the court.
Did
now.
Diana Rossini... Did that win the summer? Was that the biggest story of the summer?
No, I think several NCAA
really
screw-ups.
I don't think so.
Maybe in our world.
Rossini or Sorsby? Which one was the biggest? Anyway, former athletic reporter Diana Rossini's relationship with Mike Vrabel violated newsroom standards, according to The Athletic. They find Rossini Vrabel ties violated newsroom standards. They did say, however, it showed no clear bias toward the New England Patriots head coach, according to the findings of an internal investigation into her work published on the company's website. The Athletic said Mike Semmel of The Athletic, the editorial director for standards and editorial quality, that's a long title, said Rossini's relationship with Vrabel was in clear violation of the athletic standards. Regardless of whether the relationship was romantic, it was a breach and should have been disclosed. Yeech. As for Rossini's coverage of Vrabel, Semmel wrote, I've not found a clear link to conclude that Rossini used her platform to help promote Vrabel or help his teams during her time at The Athletic. That said, there are examples of Rossini writing glowingly of Vrabel that in hindsight are awkward or even uncomfortable. She's never going to be in media again, right? Do you think it's fair that Rossini's never going to be in media again, but Mike Vrabel's going to just be able to coach? I do.
It's a different situation because of her job versus his job.
His job is not to be a reporter. His job is to coach football. If they deem that this won't distract him from coaching football, his players still follow him blindly onto the football field, then he's fine.
Yeah,
he'll be in really, football for as long as he wants.
It's all about the job. If she was working at the hotel, or if
It would just be an icky story, and we'd be like, "Oh, Vrabel cheated on his wife with this girl."
Yeah, but this is different. It's kind of not fair to her, but also it is
what if
not
she
her
was,
fault because of what her job was.
Okay, what if she was single? He was single. She disclosed it while she was at The Athletic.
The disclosure, they'd have to move her from NFL coverage, I think, because I think they are owned by the New York Times, and the New York Times is very strict on this policy.
Do you keep her on, but just say, hey, you can't talk about, what if you kept her on the NFL? You can never talk about the Patriots, but you couldn't do that because what if the Patriots are like Super Bowl contender, they win the Super Bowl, they would be the story.
Awkward situation because if she was defending the Patriots like I defend the Broncos.
GoPoke says Lane Train. That's the story. So Lane Kiffin, but that was new. That's all. His first story was leaving Ole Miss, and that wasn't in the summer. And then this recent stuff around Lane Kiffin with the players that are professional players coming back to LSU are like that didn't happen until what, a week or two ago. So that wasn't really a story of the summer.
And we weren't talking about that as much as we were Diana Rossini. Again, not fair to her, but it's kind of her fault because
I get
her
you.
Job.
Let's get some texts here, Mike. Texter from John Fort Enterprise. Oh, jeez. Missouri is a 55.5 favorite over Arkansas Pine Bluffs tonight. I'm not picking. I'm only picking local, Mike. Do they cover? I don't know. I watch original Star Trek every Saturday night at 10 p.m. on MeTV. My wife thinks I am nuts. I think you're nuts, too, John Fort Enterprise.
Your wife is wrong about you. Keep doing what you need to do.
If your wife doesn't want you to watch Star Trek, you shouldn't watch Star Trek. It poisons your brain. It's just so bad. He said, Chris Brady, I think last week was considered 0 week by the NCAA, so you fellows are good. So he's saying we get a pass. We don't count last week as a loss.
No, it counts on the scoreboard. It counts for your record.
Okay. Green Acres. Where the heck has Green Acres been? I think the Rossini story was more of a story for the press, who theoretically have an idea of media ethics. General audience doesn't think about ethics in the same way, in my opinion. I don't know. I don't think it was just a media thing. But it did go away. I mean, we're talking about it today because The Athletic came out with this, their findings, which is kind of weird. But it was a significant story. Seriously, I'm asking the question. The Rossini story or Sorsby? Which one was bigger?
It should have been Sorsby, but it was Rossini.
No, I don't know. I think because Sorsby could have, like, that could have ruined college sports, I believe. I think there's a lot of things we all say, like, this is going to kill college sports. Guys getting paid is going to kill college sports. Well, it hasn't, and it probably won't. What could kill college sports is if we know that dudes are gambling on games and then they're allowed to still play. Like, that one actually could. That stands for all sports. If we find out that more players than not are gambling on games in the NBA, we're going to go away. These little stories that they get to it and then they just die down. They stick with us for a while. But Michael, the start of the NBA season last year was terrible. Remember? It was the whole Chauncey Billups stuff. And we thought, oh man, this could kill the NBA. You got a head coach that was gambling. You got these players that were gambling. And we hear like Jontay Porter, like those stories came out. If we find out that a prominent player, and Chauncey wasn't really found to have gambled yet on the games. There's rumors out there that maybe he did. But his was more of this underground poker thing. Go Poke says, gambling pro players are ruining college sports. Like, if you found out today that LeBron James was fixing games, that would destroy the NBA, watchability.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA got over that referee.
Remember how aggressive they were to come out and say, this is an isolated incident. This is not the norm. This guy acted on his own. Then if you watch that documentary, it kind of seems like there were a few refs that were like, hey, the Allen Iverson thing. I can't remember the ref who it was. I think he still officiates today. But it was like, hey, he was pissed at Allen Iverson for something. He's like, I'm going to get him for carry tonight. I'm going to get him for carrying the basketball tonight. And he did.
They should actually do that more often.
Whatever.
Not in revenge.
Whatever. But that was a story. And if we find out that all the more refs were involved, if you actually know that, then it ruins it. So I think the Sorsby, Go Pokes is saying he's going lane train, but it wasn't during the summer, Go Pokes. Semantics. Third would be then Texas Tech, then would be the Save College Sports Act, Protect College Sports. So far, Hooligans are saying that the Rossini story is not even like top five. That was pretty big.
I mean, if it wasn't number two, like I can't think of any other story that
was
as epic. Do you
think that if that story came out and the picture came out the way it did, if Vrabel and Rossini both just flat out admitted right off the bat, yeah, that was us. We we're having an affair, it would have been a story.
But it would have been big.
It would have dissolved after a week or two. But because Vrabel doubled down, is like, anybody that's taken this picture for more than what it is an idiot, blah, blah, blah. And then Russini saying something in her tweet, basically just going back to work, that probably made it worse. But it was, hey, kept us busy. So thanks, Mike. Kept us busy this summer.
If they had come out and admitted it right off the bat, I'm 50-50 on whether she gets fired. Because it was still an inappropriate relationship, but like the more they lied about it, the deeper it got.
You're probably right, though. They move her to some other kind of beat, but they keep her on as a reporter.
Well, I'm surprised she hasn't started a podcast already.
I don't think anyone wants to listen, man. GoPoke says August isn't summer. Mm-mm. Not when training camp starts. When training camp starts, it's no longer summer. Those are the rules. I don't make the rules. Those are just the rules. When training camp starts in the NFL, summer is over.
Well, I mean, technically, summer's over in like September 20th. But I kind of agree with you. Once we start paying attention to the greatest sport of all time, football, summer just kind of ends.
Summer ends. Once you get to that point, Mike, summer ends. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Faith says, Russini and Sorsby at the top. Greenacre says, I miss you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for listening. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Greenacres is a Rams fan, so you're going to want to cover your ears for this next segment. Oh, wow. He's got his own music. You got to be a Hall of Famer to get that music. So are you saying he's a Hall of Famer?
It's a good enough song where we can play it.
So are you announcing that Greenacres is in the Hall of Fame?
Not this year. There are some things I have a problem with, even though his statistics are amazing.
Well, he hasn't texted in a while. It's been a while since he texted in. Now, you're a hooligan just by listening or participating.
So I'm a hooligan?
Barely. But you're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Famer if you bring the noise. And only Hall of Famers know what that is. Like Faith. Faith says, where's my music? She's a Hall of Famer. There's a song called Faith. You can find it. Test how good of a producer you are.
Co-host.
You're definitely not a co-host. You're not a co-host. Nope. See, you can't find... You're not even a producer.
Hang on,
you can't even find the music. A producer would have this ready to go. Greenacre says, if that doesn't autoplay every time I text, I protest. See, he gets his own music. Faith doesn't even get her own music. Faith is a diehard. There you go. That's it? What are we doing? That's all? You played the whole damn Greenacre song and you can't even give Faith like 3 seconds of a song? That's Faith's song now. Such a good song.
Yeah.
That is a great song. Why do you fade it down so fast?
He does better songs.
That is his best song. No, that's his best song. That is his best song. Yeah. Okay.
You can also hear it on the Deadpool soundtrack.
Stop doing nerd connections. Just let me listen to this song. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, coming up next. Let that breathe, man.
Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Spencer Smith with DNVR Rockies, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
22 minutes after the hour. Joining us now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, you'll love this. My wonderful producer, Michael, who is just amazing, he asked, should we call Mark on his home phone or cell phone? I'm guessing you're not home, right, Mark?
No, I'm in Atlanta right now, yes.
First of all, I said home or away.
He's got a game tonight, Michael. The Colorado Buffaloes and Georgia Tech.
I forgot.
We finally put all the talking to rest, Mark. And well, we'll talk right now. But here in a few hours, we're finally going to get to kick off for the 2026 Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it finally. I mean, you know, after a month of talking about what if and possibly and what could it look like, and maybe it's going to look like this, we finally get a chance to see it here tonight. We're right now in the car, in fact. Gary is driving. We got Bobby in the back and Reed in the back seat on our way to go have lunch before we head to the stadium. So you got to understand something, Ray. When I'm talking with you about this game tonight, it's like sitting in front of a professor. When I say something Gary's going to disagree with, he's going to roll his eyes at me.
I love it. I love it, man. Yeah. How about this for both of you guys? This is the question. We're expecting a lot of points tonight. So the over-under is 51.5 tonight, Mark. I know we're not talking gambling with you and such, but just for entertainment purposes only, are we expecting that kind of a game? Are we expecting this to be a shootout?
Okay, Gary, the question for you is for entertainment purposes only, the over-under is 51.5. Are you going over or under? Now he's thinking. He says he likes 51.5. He's going to take the over at 53 is what the coach said.
Oh, so he's saying 51.5. That's too low. He's like, hammer that. Yeah, okay.
I'm going to take the under by a little bit.
You're taking the under?
I'm going to take the other. And Gary says, by the way, if you do bet on that, he gets 25% of whatever you win.
Well, I'm 25% of my $5 that I'm throwing out there, Mark. We'll see. And also
this. $1 and a quarter is making a $5 bet, Gary.
How about IOUs? Is he taking IOU? Because that's usually how I pay people off.
That's right. No, Gary's not accepting an IOU. No, not a chance.
It's a dangerous game, Mark. It's a dangerous game. But no question, it's a huge game tonight for the Colorado Buffaloes. I get it. Game one, it's huge for everybody. But all the stuff we've talked about, all the quote-unquote noise surrounding the Buffaloes, you quiet that a lot if you go out tonight on the road and beat Georgia Tech.
Oh, without question. I think this is going to be a fun game tonight. And think about what we're talking about. You're talking about a game with two inexperienced quarterbacks. Now, Mendoza is a junior, but he's never started a game. He's only thrown 25 passes in his career. Juju, yes, he started a couple games last year, but this is the first game and season with him being the quarterback. So we were just talking about this. I don't think either coach is going to put too much heavy on either of those two quarterbacks. They want to run the ball. Colorado wants to run the ball. So, you know, really what happens up front? Can Colorado's reworked offensive line be effective tonight? Can they open some holes, allow Colorado in that go-go offense to run the football against Georgia Tech? Conversely, can Colorado slow down Georgia Tech? They had, 320-some yards rushing a year ago against Colorado, and so that'll be a key matchup there. And so, I don't think we're just kind of laughing. I told Gary, you're not going to get a chance to talk tonight. It's going to be a running attack, a high-tempo deal, And this could be a pretty quick game when by the time it's all said and done.
Well, and I think we're all excited, too, to see, you mentioned it, with this Brennan Marion, this go-go offense. I'm just excited to see what exactly it is.
It's interesting. And there's some unique formations he comes up with. He's a pretty creative guy, speaking of Brennan Marion. And it is predicated on the run. I was talking with Gunnar White, one of the offensive line coaches, a few days ago. And I said, do I understand this correctly that you know, every time you snap the ball, the line's coming off as if it's a run play and kind of simplifies things a little bit. He said, yes, that is correct. So the offensive linemen, who are, you know, good size fellas, by the way, we've got a big offensive line this year. They're excited about it. And there's a lot of things to like. And I'm kind of fascinated by what this thing's going to look like when we see the full set of what it ultimately becomes. I don't think we're going to see everything tonight with a young quarterback, but we'll get some aspects of it this evening. We'll start to understand what the go-go is.
You mentioned on the offensive side for Georgia Tech, you talked about Alberto Mendoza. Obviously, they want to run the football. Justice Haynes was pretty darn good last year for Michigan, so I would imagine we're going to see a heavy dose of him tonight.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And the Hosley kid, who was one of their leading rushers a year ago, you've got those two guys. But, Justice Haynes comes in. I mean, he was a guy that was at Alabama, then at Michigan, put up some big numbers, only played, seven games a year ago, an average over 70 yards per carry. Hosley did the same thing, just over 70 yards per carry. That's what they do. This offense a year ago, by the way, they averaged almost 7 yards per play a year ago, just slightly under that. This was a very effective offense. They had some issues defensively a year ago. And, you know, the coordinators, we talk about the two coordinators for Colorado being different. They've got two new coordinators on their side. Yeah, any game tape you had from a year ago, just throw it away. It means nothing in terms of what this game is going to be tonight there, Brady.
How difficult, too. I mean, you said it. Like, that's kind of what you can say about almost every team right now is throw away the game film. Unless, you know, you have the same coaches and such. But if you have different coordinators and most teams have pretty significantly different rosters too. That's why these first weeks, it's a flip the coin, man.
I say all the time, I'm glad I'm not one of the wise guys early in the season of college football, because I don't know how you really gauge these teams. You know, they've got 48 new players on Georgia Tech's roster, 28 freshmen and 20 transfer guys. The Buffs have got somewhere in that same range. It's all new coordinators, all new systems, all new players, new quarterbacks. I mean, it's really, really interesting early in the season of college football to kind of get a sense of what these games are supposed to look like compared to what the reality is we're going to see tonight.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. We talked a little offensively about those Buffs. Tell me, you know, in your mind, we've talked a lot about the running backs and some of these guys. I mean, like Damian Henderson for a while there. I know he former CSU guy, but he was, I don't know, third or fourth maybe on this depth chart, but you've talked highly of him. I'm curious to see how, you know, who's going to get the carries, who's going to get the most carries, how this is going to be. Do you see this as being more like kind of a running back by committee because you have so many guys talented in that running back room?
I think early on, yeah, I don't know if there's a 1, 2, 3, 4 in that group right now. I think they're 1A, 1B, 1C. You know, Michael Welch is going to get a lot of carries. DeKalen Taylor is going to get carries. Henderson, you mentioned. There's a bunch of guys. I don't know that there's one guy that's really been kind of, you know, like we talk about Justice Haynes for Georgia Tech. I think he is obviously a 1A type of running back. And I don't think you can say that with Colorado right now. I don't know that anybody's really separated themselves. And so that's going to be a process as well, like a lot of things with this team. I think there's a deep wide receiver room. I mean, there's a few guys, Danny Scudero and JoJo Williams from a year ago and a few different guys like that I think are going to be in the mix. But I'm not sure who, from a running back standpoint, you'd say is really your number one guy at this point.
And you mentioned Danny Scudero. I am really pumped to see just what he can do at this level. I mean, he had monster numbers, of course, with San Jose State. And I would imagine, you know, that's going to carry over nicely. That connection possibly between him and Julian Lewis could be must-see television.
I think it could be a lot of fun. I mean, he was very productive at San Jose State a year ago. Now, he had a foot injury in camp and so missed a little bit of time. And I don't think he was still wearing the protective jersey late in camp. But no, he's a very productive guy. And that kind of goes along with what we've talked about, Brady, in the past, about kind of the different recruiting, shall we say, philosophy that they've used this year, where they went and looked for productivity. Guys should have been very productive, maybe at lower levels, but have been proven players, were captains, were all-conference kind of guys, led leagues in certain statistical categories, and he certainly falls into one of those because he has been a very productive receiver where he's been. And I think in this offensive system, he could put up some very big numbers.
All right, Mark, tell me this. You know, the Buffs win tonight if what needs to happen in your mind on both sides of the ball?
The Buffs win tonight if they can stop the run tonight. I think that's going to be huge. I do think a fair question about Colorado defensively is their defensive front. I like the linebackers, the way they run, the way they can move. I like the guys in the back end of that thing, Boo Carter and Cree Thomas and those guys back there. If they can slow down the run and maintain, I think, their defensive presence up front, I think Colorado's going to have a good chance of this. If we're talking late in a ball game about Georgia Tech rushing for over 300 yards again like they did last year, I think that ends up being a long night for Colorado.
All right, my friend Mark, I'm looking forward to the call, my friend. We'll mute the game and listen to you fellas broadcast first game of the season for the Colorado Buffaloes.
All right. If you text me, I'll give you a shout-out. How does that sound?
Oh, you know what, Mark? I didn't do this. Forgive me. Mascot wars. We do this. A yellow jacket or a buffalo/bison?
Come on, that's not even a question there. You got a 2,000-pound bull buffalo against the yellow jacket from a mascot standpoint. I don't even think the yellow jacket can penetrate the fur.
I don't think so. Yeah.
That's not even a competition from a mascot standpoint this week. I mean, that's clearly the Colorado Buffaloes. And we'll win tonight, and let's just settle this whole 1990 National Championship thing, and they can give us their trophy, and we'll be a unanimous a national champion from 1990 as well.
Yeah, any mascot that I can take out with a can of spray is not going to win a lot of battles tonight. Yeah.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is no competition from a mascot this week. And really for the foreseeable future, we've got a couple of Wildcats coming up. So, yeah, no worries about that the next few weeks.
Mark, what time do you guys get rocking and rolling for pregame?
4 o'clock Mountain Time. 4 o'clock Mountain Time on the network. You can catch us on SiriusXM and on the Varsity Network app and all over the place. So we're 4 o'clock Mountain Time, 6 p.m. kickoff.
All right, my friend. We're looking forward to it. Should be a fun game tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, buddy. See you.
All right, there is the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Yellow jacket or a bison. It's a bison, by the way. We've already put that to bed.
It is a bison, but neither one is going to be able to harm the other one. So I'm calling it a draw.
No, a bison would flick it with its tail.
The bison's not going to be able to. Not, the bee's not going to the butt.
That might be the only way to get, you know, to get that
stinger
in there.
They're not going to fight each other.
Well, they could. Mike, this is hypothetical.
They're too different.
This is a hypothetical thing, Mike.
Buffalo's eating grass and the bees going to the flowers to pollinate.
You no, this is why we can't have fun. We can't have fun on this show.
Because I use logic. You're
no.
Welcome.
I am. 34 minutes after. You do not use logic. This is the whole show. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Big game tonight. Georgia Tech and the Colorado Buffaloes. We got that pick coming up here in just a moment. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we have Rams Weekly presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. So we'll get into some deep details about Colorado State and Wyoming this weekend, because that's a big one on Saturday. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Stephen A. Smith was kind of going off things that we've talked about Coach Prime and basically what they need to do to shut out all the noise that's surrounding the Buffaloes. Let's listen to him, because I have a reaction to it. Here's Stephen A.
This ain't Alabama, Georgia, or something like that. Because it's Colorado, you want that attention. You want that sizzle. But you also need the results. And it's getting to the point where in 2 of the 3 years, you lost, you only won 4 games your first year. You won just three games last year. You went 9-4 the year you had your son and Travis Hunter. We get that part. But if there's a replica of this, I mean, you're going to have folks calling for his hide. Now, Colorado might stick with him, but I wouldn't trust it. I wouldn't trust it. I can't emphasize this enough. I'm not talking about record. I'm talking about those numbers that I just doled out. You cannot have a replica of that happen again this upcoming season. Otherwise, I don't think he will survive. I don't think it's going to happen. I believe in the brother. I believe he's going to turn it around. But last year cannot happen again. Not this bad.
Well, it can. It can. And he can still survive. He's not talking about he said he's talking about the numbers. How about the buyout number? Can't afford it. I've said this a lot recently, Mike. He is untouchable at this point because of the buyout, not because of his popularity. If it wasn't for that buyout, yes, I would 100% get on board with anything less than 5 wins. Five, I'd say. Or maybe a bowl. You're paying him a lot of money to not go to a bowl game. I'd say 5 would have been safe, but because of the buyout, you'd have to have all hell break loose. You'd have to win 1 game, and more noise is surrounding The Buffs. More legal stuff. The logo thing actually turns out that they did screw this guy over, and we don't know. We don't know the information on that yet. But that's what would need to happen. One win or two, and then we start finding out more of these legal we start hearing more of this legal stuff coming up. But right now, the guy's safe, dude. He's a businessman. He knew what he was doing. He signed that contract knowing full well, man, this is what I'm demanding, and this is what we're putting the buyout on, so that no matter what, you know, I'm untouchable. They might want him gone. They might want him gone today. I don't think so. I don't think the shine has really worn off that much yet for Colorado, but this is definitely Fernando Lovo, the new athletic director. I do think it's interesting. Like, Rick George hit a mic drop moment when he hires Coach Prime. Everyone's talking about the Buffaloes. It was a great hire. In that moment, it was a great hire. But as we've gotten further along in this journey, it certainly seems like the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Based on the information we have right now, you go into Georgia, you go into Atlanta, Georgia tonight, and you get a win, then the whole narrative changes. But you got an athletic director that inherited all of this, and he's sitting back watching. He's going, wow, we've got a lot of different stories coming out that aren't necessarily positive. We've got a sheriff showing up on campus trying to serve Coach Prime paper so he can testify in his son's court case. We've got another dude going after Coach Prime because he said, hey, I created the logo and I gave them the logo, Coach Prime's logo, because they promised me certain career advancements. Now, we don't have the paper trail of that yet, but believe me, we will. You've got a dude's number retired who was really good but played two seasons for the Buffs when you have a ton of other great Buffaloes that have now turned their back on the current regime of the Buffs because they're frustrated that their numbers weren't retired. You have a lot of stuff that has surrounded Coach Prime in his time there. And you've gotten, of the three seasons, one, would you call nine wins? I would think you would call nine wins pretty successful. Maybe not very successful, but pretty successful. So you are resting on a nine-win season compared to two other bad seasons. And I don't care. We take the entire body of work now. You guys can tell me till you're blue in the face. Well, they won three more games than they did the year before. They fired their head coach in the middle of the season, Michael. They fired Carl Durrell. So if you're comparing success to that, then they hired interim coach friend of ours, Mike Sanford, who's doing radio for a living now. It's a great career. And you're comparing that? Oh, well, you won more than that situation. That's not a knock on Sanford, by the way. I'm just saying it is what it is. So no, I don't really look at his year one as being successful. It's not like I'm not going to fire him after four wins, but Buffs fans or Prime fans loved to use that rhetoric, that narrative of we won three more games than we won last year. You're better than a crap fest? I mean, that's what it was. I liked Carl Durrell as a person, but he wasn't really good. And they fired him halfway through the season. He didn't win any games. It was Mike Sanford that got their lone win. I can't remember who that was against. Was that against Oregon State? But you use that forever. Well, we improved. No, you flipped an entire roster and you gave a speech that said, we coming. Win. It was the next year. They were pretty good the next year. And then you lose key players, and not just Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. You lose a lot of key players, and the bottom falls out. And you win three. So yes, the body of work right now would tell you that Deion Sanders has not been successful as a head coach at Colorado. Overall, not successful. One good season does not make you a successful head coach. And if the other two were bad, That outweighs the nine wins. It does. So, yes, the pressure's on, but he ain't going anywhere. The buyout is too much, and you'd be in debt. And then who are you going to pay to come in? Who are you going to go after that point, man? Brennan Marion? Maybe, but still. That guy's jumped jobs every single year. You know, he could very well have an offense that scores 30-plus points a game, and maybe you do feel comfortable with a buyout, and you get him for cheap since he's never been a head coach. But then he has another, if he's doing the same thing next week. Oh, it was Cal that they want. They beat. Oh, you had that, Mike? Thanks.
I did. They beat him on October 15th.
That was Mike Sanford.
20-13.
So, like, Buffs fans are like, oh my gosh, we won four games. We were three games better. You were three games better than a fired coach situation.
Who didn't win a game.
That's not good. And that's what you, I mean, come on. That's not good for anybody. It's improvement. And it's, if this were a regular situation, you'd say, yeah, we're okay, we're growing. And then the next year you followed it up with nine. Great. You're on the upward trajectory. Bam. The bottom falls out. Because I think Coach Prime can get some great recruits, at least at the beginning. Where's Jordan Seaton? Where is he? I don't see that left tackle. He's a big guy. Hard to miss. He ain't a Buff anymore. I think the popularity gets great players to see you. Or it did. And that showed itself in year two when they won nine. I think that some of these players that are serious about football looked at some of the hires, the Pat Shermers, the Warren Sapps, and thought, maybe this isn't a serious guy, football guy. So I think his recruiting certainly aided them in winning nine because he got studs. But can you keep those studs? You got to pay them too, and I get that. Everybody's dealing with it. I'm saying when I say the shine is worn off, I would worry that maybe, especially if he has a bad year this year, his ability to get those big-name recruits, that popularity is not going to outweigh the business of football. 48 minutes after the hour. All of that can be washed away for a week if the Buffaloes beat Georgia Tech tonight. They are 6.5-point dogs. You win tonight, the we coming stuff starts all back up, and the Buffaloes feel like they are headed to bigger and better things. Will they do it tonight? Picks coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Front Range Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310KFK.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, Michael, we're 0-1 on the season with picks. Right now, with UNC losing, because they were 3.5-point favorites. I like them to cover. They didn't. We got to get back to 500 tonight. This is tough. Georgia Tech is a 6.5-point favorite. Part of my brain's like, no, this is... The Buffs are going to use all of it. All the bulletin board material. And you're gonna get Richard Young and Micah Welch and Damian Henderson, former Ram, run all over the place tonight. Danny Scudero, potential player of the week watch right there, Mike, since we're just doing college football, as determined earlier. But then I could see Georgia Tech doing... I could see Georgia Tech just running for that, as Mark said, that 300-plus yards tonight. I could see it. If that happens, whoop. I'm excited about the go-go offense from Brennan Marion. I just don't know enough about this defense to feel very confident. But then again, it's not like Georgia Tech. Man, Georgia Tech was pretty damn good last year, Mike. What'd they lose? Three games last year? I don't think CU wins tonight. Do they cover 6.5? They do not. Georgia Tech, I believe, wins in a very high-scoring game, and they do cover 6.5. And we're left wondering what's next for the Buffaloes. Rams Weekly up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.